lead us, please.
And Mary said, soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord.
You can be seated. We're carrying on in our series called War Cry about when the warrior child Jesus came and was born here on earth. Our first week, we started even further back than Bethlehem. We went John 1, we talked about how Jesus was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God and the Word was God, and how he has always existed. There's never been a time when he didn't exist. He was with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was Trinity. He is three in one, as the scripture leads us to be able to see. Last week, Heath, and I'm so very thankful for him bringing the word of God, we looked at how the angel came to Joseph, and how he came to Joseph, and Joseph as a very young man who was betrothed, which is a high-level engagement. It is like being married already, except there's no consummation of the marriage. Where Mary would continue to live with her mom and dad, Joseph with his mom and dad, and after a year they would come together. And he comes to, the angel in a dream comes to Joseph and says, listen, the one that you have been betrothed to, she's pregnant. Do what? We've not come together. He says, but don't worry. Listen, if you are in here and you're a young lady, 12 to 16, somewhere in that area, or ladies, you can remember being that age. This is about that age for Mary. This one you've not known, she is pregnant, but do not worry. This is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has overshadowed her. I'll talk more about that later. And I want you to know that you can take her to be your wife. The scripture tells us that he got up from that dream and he obeyed. He did that immediately. A unique thing in that is that Joseph and Mary didn't get to choose the name of the child. That name was given to them by God. You remember at the beginning of that passage, it says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus, the one who would come to save them from their sins, Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the one that they had waited on, the Messiah, the chosen one was coming, and that also his name would be Emmanuel. This Messiah, the one who's going to save Israel from their sins, save the people from their sins, is God with you. This is the warrior child that we're talking about, that we've been looking at, and the war cry of God and how he came to earth. Today in Luke chapter 1, I want us to be able to look at Mary's song, her Magnificat, as it is called in Latin. The word Magnificat in Latin means magnificent and comes from verse 46. Look at verse 46. It begins and says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. This is where you get magnificent, Magnificat. That's it. Say that three times. My goodness, I did. This is where that word comes from, to magnify. And so the question that I want us to think about today is, how does our life magnify the Lord? Now, we all know that, and you've probably used at some point, if you haven't yet with your kids, get a magnifying glass and let them be able to look at rocks or leaves or something along those lines. Let me tell you something that scared me to death. My wife has a mirror at our house that is a lighted mirror that on one side looks like a normal mirror until you turn it over. And when I turn it over, it's like, oh, my goodness. Everything was huge on my face. My head didn't get bigger, but everything was magnified. Just like when you take that magnifying glass and you look at a rock, a leaf, a twig, or whatever it is, your fingernail, the actual thing doesn't change, but the perspective does. And this Magnificat, this magnificent, Mary is magnifying God, it says. But now, wait a minute. I want to make sure that you see this, that she doesn't make God bigger. God, we can't make God bigger, but her perspective of who God was caused her to exclaim in a poem, a song, a lyric, to be able to exclaim, my soul magnifies you, God. Well, how did that happen? You've got your Bibles or they're on or something. I want you to look at a couple of things real quick, even before we get to this passage. In Luke chapter 1, you remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, look at verse 26. It says that an angel named Gabriel shows up to Mary. Now, it wasn't Gabriel that came, we don't believe, we don't know for certain, that came to Joseph, because it doesn't tell us. But this angel Gabriel comes and says, hey, Mary, 14 years old, one who's never known a man, you're going to give birth. You're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. This is going to happen. Can you imagine this young lady? I don't understand how this was working. I know how my mom has told me this works, and this is so far outside of everything. And look what Gabriel says in verse 32 and 33. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and his reign over the house of Jacob will be forever, and his kingdom and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, a 14, 12, 14, 15, 16-year-old young lady, an angel shows up, you're going to be pregnant. Oh, and by the way, this child that you're carrying, he's going to have the throne of David. He's going to have the throne of David. Over the house of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the forefathers. She's, what? How is this happening? Oh, and by the way, look at verse 36. Your cousin, your old cousin, who she's much older than you, she's barren, she's never been able to have a child. Guess what? She's in her sixth month of pregnancy right now. She's going to have a baby boy. And notice how verse 36 closes. I want you to see this. Notice how verse 36 closes. It says, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Can I tell you, this is a brief little application point here right now. Whatever God has said will come to pass, whatever he has planned, as impossible as you think it may be, I want you to know it's not impossible with God. It's not impossible with God. As you read the word and you're thinking, how is this all going to end? I can tell you how it's going to end. I don't know how it's going to get there, and it may seem impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. There may have been a situation in your own life where you're now looking back, I hope that you do look back, and you think, I don't know how that happened. There weren't any means, and means came. There was disease, there was broken relationship, there was sickness, I don't know how it happened, but everything has changed. You know why? Because what God has planned, and with him, there is nothing impossible. His plans will not be, as the scripture would say, thwarted. They will always stand and they will always fail. They will never fail. Look at verse 39. In verse 39, it says that Mary then gets up immediately and she goes and she sees this cousin Elizabeth. And as she comes to Elizabeth, the scripture tells us just before the passage that we read, that Mary read today, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when she saw Mary, because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby in her leapt. It jumped. It moved because of the joy that she had. And look how Elizabeth talks to Mary in verses 42 and 43. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, a war cry. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it that this grant, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Can you imagine Mary? Think about all the things that have happened, and now it's like, oh Lord God, I magnify you. Follower of Jesus in here, the one who, you who have submitted your life to Christ, can you think back to a time where it didn't add up? You didn't know how it was going to happen. You were at wit's end. Relationship was dead. It came to life. Medical that you thought is never going to happen. And then it happened. And all of a sudden, you just stopped and you had your own Magnificat. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. So the question for us today is Mary, she has a Magnificat, a song, a worship time. Her war cry is a battle cry of worship, of magnifying God. The question is for you and me today, how can that happen with us? How is it that in the midst of where we are today, in this season, in this time, how can we burst through with joy and magnify God for all that he is? Not make him bigger, but have our perspective enlarged because of who he is. Well, there's a couple of ways. The first thing that I want you to see as we walk through this is, number one, we have to remember his faithfulness. You want joy in your life, you have to begin to remember his faithfulness. There are 9 different times in verses 46 through 56 where you see the phrase, for he has, for he has. Mary in this passage of scripture right here, she is thanking God for who he is, for what he has done, excuse me, and she's also giving a prophecy of what God, what this child, this warrior child is going to do. And notice that it's all in past tense. Notice that it's all past tense, that it is written in stone and it is going to happen. I want to quickly walk through here and make a few comments. Verse 48 says this, for he has looked. If you're a circler, an underliner or something, circle and underline these. It says, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. This passage is so full of word pictures. It's so full of word pictures. Circle that word looked. That word looked, for he has looked. In the original language, listen, George that you saw on the screen, he's from Greece. And so when I would say and be preaching, in fact, even when he comes here and I say something about, well, you know, in Greek, this means this. He always will come up to me and say, you didn't say that right. In the original language, that word looked means this, eyes gazed upon, in high regard of. Do you know the difference between a glance and a gaze? A glance is this. You know what a gaze is? A gaze is when you are, no offense, I'll put my gaze over here on this one. It's when you gaze, you look at them. You know, do you notice here what he says, what she says? She says, for he has set his gaze upon my humble estate. He has looked at me. He has had regard for me. In the lowly state that I am, as she remembers and she sees all that he, all that has happened for this plan to begin to unfold, I am of humble estate, and yet you have looked upon me. As a follower of Jesus Christ in here who surrendered your life to Christ, did you realize that you're, that the Lord's eyes are fixed on you? He doesn't just glance by where you are. His gaze is set on you. He knows exactly where you are. His eyes are not turning. He is watching what you are doing. Some of you, that may make you shake. That may make you tremble. I want you to know, listen, when we walk with the Lord, as we walk with him, and we, listen, I love watching my kids do things. My eyes are on them. I love when I see how they are following the Lord or how they do something right. When they don't do something that measures up, it doesn't mean that I don't love them. It means that I lovingly want to go to them and help correct them. You see, what the Lord is saying, what Mary is saying here, for he has looked, he has set his gaze upon me. And because of that, I'm blessed. I am blessed that he has chosen and he has placed, the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and he has placed his Messiah, the one who will save us from our sins. He has placed this child, this warrior child in my womb. Look at verse 49. Verse 49 says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." The two words "has done" means in the original language, he has authored. Do you realize that he is the author of everything that has happened in your life? He is the one who has written every great story. He is the one who has written your story. You realize that your history is his story? It is his story in your life. He has authored it. Before a day ever happened, all your days have been written. Your first and your last. He loves you so much, he's numbered the hairs on your head. Men, for some of you, that's not very many, but he knows exactly how many there are. He has numbered them. He has authored them. Just like a potter is able to create what he desires out of the clay, this author has the ability to author your entire life. And Mary is remembering. He's the one who planned all of these things. As impossible as they may be, he is the one who has authored them. Look at verse 51. 51 says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud." Notice the contrast here with Mary's humble estate. Verse 49 says, "He is mighty. He's done great things." It says that he has shown strength with his arm. Have you ever noticed that those of you who have little boys, or I'm going to tell off on most of the grown men in here, little boys and even big boys, they like to walk around and point out their muscles. Well, you know, show them how strong they are. They always run up. I remember my kids, my boys running up and going, "Hey, feel my muscles. Feel my muscles." This is a way of they want to be built up. The scripture here says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud." This word "scattered" means thrown into the air. The picture of it is this, as of winnowing grain, winnowing wheat, where when the grain would come in, they would put it on a big sieve and they would shake it. And as they would shake it, the husk would break loose from the kernel and they would throw it up and let it turn. And you know what would happen when they would throw it up? It says the chaff would be blown away. This is the picture that this one who has authored everything about Mary's life, authored everything about your life, this one who is mighty, this one who has a strong arm, who fights for his children, has scattered her enemies. Scatter ours. Notice in verse 52, it says, "He has brought down the mighty and exalted those of a humble estate." The picture here is Mary, I believe, looking back at the exile. Do you remember the exile, bold in Babylon? We did our series on Daniel. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar and how Nebuchadnezzar was the wicked, evil king? He brought those humble exile boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he had all the power. There was a conspiracy for them to bow down or be thrown in the furnace, bow down before an idol. And yet the scripture says, "He has brought down the mighty and exalted those who are humble." Verse 53, "He has filled the hungry with good things." Pointing forward to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, in the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." For they'll be filled. And lastly, I want you to see in verse 54, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring. This word helped means to hold fast. That he is holding fast. Not me, not Mary, not you. That he is, this is covenantal language. Because look, it's said in the context of it, he is holding his servant Israel. He's remembering his mercy to them. He's remembering the covenant that he would never leave them. He would never forsake them. There would be one. Remember the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the throne of David. Mary says, I'm remembering that he is faithful. He's faithful. Though we haven't heard from him for 400 years, you see, between the closing of Malachi and the opening of Matthew, there had been 400 years of silence. And all of a sudden, the silence is broke when Gabriel comes on the scene and says, hey, the Lord's chosen you. This, not because of anything you've done, he is holding fast to you. There's a hymn that we sing. It's a new hymn by the Gettys. We don't sing it often enough, in my opinion. It's called, He Will Hold Me Fast. Some of the lyrics are, I could never keep my hold through life's fearful past, for my love is often cold, but he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. Church, I want to ask you this question. If we want to have a war cry of worship during this day, if we want to have that war cry of worship, we have to remember his faithfulness to each and every one of us. Here's an application point. I want you to write this down. I'm going to ask you to do this today. I would like to ask you, would you please stop for a moment today? Maybe several moments, to remember in your life, how has God been faithful? How is it that he's been faithful? Can I tell you that when you begin to remember how God's been faithful to you, there will be joy that will well up in you. Not because of anything you've done, because I'm going to tell you, listen, there are days when I look back and I think I've done something, and then he cuts those legs out from under me. As he should. As he should. And then here's the second piece of that. I want to ask you, would you tell your family how he's been faithful to you? How is it? Notice here what this scripture says. She talks about that from generations now, they're going to call me blessed. Not because of anything that she has done. You know what I think? As Protestants, we oftentimes don't talk enough about Mary because we're afraid that we're going to raise her to the level of what happens oftentimes in a Catholic church, Roman Catholic church, where it's almost like veneration and worship. But I want to tell you, why was Mary blessed? Because she carried Jesus, our Messiah, the long-awaited one. She remembered, she walked obediently, she proclaimed, she magnified the Lord. Do you realize that when we remember his faithfulness and we proclaim it, that is our Magnificat. Lord, you are great. When you tell your family, he's done this, he's done this, he's done this. Some of you may be struggling to remember. Can I tell you, it had been 400 years since they had heard anything from the Lord. And do you know what she did? She remembered something that happened thousands of years ago. God, you've been faithful since Abraham, you've done this. Do you realize if he's done one thing in your life, he's done enough for us to magnify him. And that may be your salvation. So if we're going to have our own war cry of worship, we have to remember his faithfulness. But the second thing that we have to do, I believe, in a proactive way, is be filled with humility. Be filled with humility. Notice in verses 48 and in 52. In verses 48 and in 52, for he looked on the humble estate of his servant. Verse 52, he exalted those of humble estate. Listen, I think when Mary began to think about and remember all that God had done, as she reflected on all that had happened in her life in a very short amount of time, mere months, an angel has come and said, I'm pregnant, though I've not known a man. My cousin, Elizabeth, listen, my cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren, she's going to have a child. I'm carrying one that's going to be the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, is going to rule over the throne of David. Generations will be changed. The Holy Spirit, I'm proclaimed. When she comes into the presence of Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, why is the mother of my Lord coming into my presence? She was filled with humility. I think when she recognized the testimony of Gabriel, the testimony of Elizabeth, the immensity, the gravity moved her to humility. Mary wasn't from a prominent family. We know nothing about Mary other than that she wasn't from a prominent city. She wasn't from Jerusalem where the religious leaders were. She was from a little backwoods, backwater town called Nazareth. You remember what the people in the scripture said about Jesus when they heard about him? He's from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? She had no wealth to speak of. This is the pattern of scripture. The Lord says, listen, you want to be first? Be last. You want to be highly exalted? Then you become a servant, because that's who Jesus was. Jesus took on the form of a servant. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Do you know what it takes to be a servant and to serve others? Humility. Humility. And I want to say this. When we begin to have struggles recounting his faithfulness, usually it's because we think we did it all. We think it was my smarts, my academics, my achievements, my money, my good looks, my popularity, my circle of influence. And can I say this to you? When we forsake humility and we begin to magnify ourselves, we are walking down the way of the world. We're walking down the way of the world. And what will always happen, the way of the world magnifying ourselves leads to dead ends, depressed pocketbooks, and deflated self-images. You look on Facebook, Instagram, whatever the next big social media thing. It's all about building up my platform, crafting something that makes me look good. I want you to look at what the pattern of scripture is, though. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 says, toward the scorners, those who are scorners, he is scornful. But to the humble, he gives favor. To the humble, he gives favor. Notice what it says in James chapter 4, 6. But he, meaning Jesus, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't want you to miss this, please. I don't want you to miss this. Leave James 4, 6 up there. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Do you see, excuse me, that it says, God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. That's a strong word, isn't it? You want to line up to go against God, then you magnify yourself over magnifying him. But you know what the great promise is? Notice the last part of that. But he gives grace to the humble. When we remember our humble state, you and I, listen, I'm looking around here. There aren't any, there may be millionaires in here that I don't know about. Please come tell me if you are. I'd like to talk to you about a few things. But we're not overly smart in here. We're not necessarily the wisest people in here. You and I come from humble estate. And when we come from a humble state, we begin to realize that all we have has come from him. We did nothing to deserve it. It was given to us. It was all given by the hand of God. We brought nothing into the world. We will leave with nothing in our hands. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Can I expand this? That the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, though blessed be the name of the Lord. So wherever you and I are today, if you're riding high or you're really low, can I tell you, we still have reason for joy. You know why? Because he has always been faithful. Today, you may be thinking, he's forgotten about me. I promise you, he hasn't. You know why? Because if you're a follower of his, he has set his gaze on you. And his strong, mighty arm is fighting on your behalf. He's already authored your story. He knows exactly where you are today. Will it turn out the way that I want it to turn out? Where I can write the fairy tale ending? I don't have a clue. I'm not the author of my story. I'm not the author of it. You know, in American movies, the good always wins. You can tie it up in a bow. Everybody walks out happy. Do you realize that in European, especially French movies, they're like depressing? Because many times it's like, it didn't end the way you thought it should. Some of you in here today, you're thinking, I don't know if this is going to end the way I want it to. Can I tell you the joy in is that the one who authored it, it will end the way he desires. And you know what? We can trust him. God, you are faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. You've looked on my humble estate, my lowly estate, and yet you still chose me. Can I ask you another question, another application point here? What's the pride point in your life that needs to be confessed today? You realize we all have them, don't you? We're prideful people. Today, if you're going, what, me? You've just expressed it right there. We're all prideful people, is it? We need to confess that we think what we have, we accomplished and we achieved. Is it that we are taking pride in all of these great things that are around us? Listen, we don't take advantage of what God gives us. We give it back to him. We've not created, we've not made. It's all been written by the author and given to us. And if you're struggling to think about where his faithfulness is, it's probably because you think you did it. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Israel, and I hope one day we'll all get to do that. We went on this tour, and I ended up going to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. The Church of the Nativity is a big, ornate, almost kind of gaudy-looking church where they traditionally, they say, this is where Jesus was born. It's got seven different congregations that meet there. You can go to the grotto where the spot is. They traditionally say Jesus was born. Was he? I don't know. I don't have a clue. No, he was born in Bethlehem. But you go. And as you go, as you get ready to go in to sit to this grotto, to be able to see the place where they say traditionally Jesus is born, do you realize you can't walk in there? That area, that place where you go, the door frame, the lintel of the door frame is very low. Do you know the only way you can go in to see that area is that you have to stoop, you have to bow down, and you have to kneel to get in there. You realize that people who are not humble do not bow before the Lord Jesus. But the promise is that Jesus said there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. If you're a follower of Jesus, a true believer, I want you to know that like Mary, the greatest gift you have is carried within you. Just as Mary had Jesus in her womb, you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus in your heart. He has taken up residence. God had looked on her humble state, and he has looked on your humble state. She did nothing to get pregnant. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. And I want to say to you today, you realize there was nothing that you did to choose God. He chose you. He, by the power of the Spirit, called you to life. God, by the Holy Spirit, placed new life in you just like he placed the life of Jesus in her womb. And when he comes to take up residence, do you realize that your cold, dead heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh? He begins to change your desires. He gives you a heartbeat, one that is beating, boom, 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 for him. And when that happens, you realize, in fact, I want to say today, there's some in here who the Lord Jesus is calling to life today. There's a stirring in your heart. You don't understand it. You're trying to figure it out. Can I tell you that's the Holy Spirit of God calling you to life? And the scripture tells us that those, when that happens, here's how we know that we've been changed. We respond in faith. We tell somebody. We tell somebody. Today, at the close of this, I'm going to be out of the back. I'd love to hear today. Come talk to me. I'd love to pray with you. Today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you want true joy, a joy candle? You want true joy? Submit your life in humility. Come before him and remember his faithfulness. Today, I'm going to ask that you stand around the room, please. Would you do that? Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of being called your children. I ask that you would call us to new life today. If there's someone in here who doesn't know you, would you save them, Father? And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. Today is our response. We're going to join in with Mary's Magnificat. We're going to declare how marvelous he is. We're going to sing our war cry and ask the Lord God to do a work in our life that only could be attributed to the Holy Spirit of God. Zion?